Today on Seculo, a wake-up call for the Democrat Party as their D.C. headquarters is violently attacked by an anti-Israel mob.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. In a change of what we are used to seeing when we see leftists come and protest in Washington, D.C., usually those leftists target the right. They target pro-life groups. They target organizations like the ACLJ. They target, again, Republican members of Congress. But last night, in a protest that turned violent, six police officers were injured. These pro-Palestinian, I could even say pro-Hamas, they call them protesters, they're almost like militants, attacked not the RNC, but the DNC headquarters, had to go under lockdown because these protesters calling for, get this, a ceasefire, engaged in not a peaceful demonstration of civil disobedience, like closing the doors, but in violence. So they're calling for a ceasefire while they're engaging in violence against the Democrat National Committee. And what I hope, and I know I've got friends on the other side of the aisle who have said this to me, you know, over and over, most congressional Democrats do support Israel. The squad is the minority. But most congressional Democrats are afraid of letting that be known publicly. They do vote the right way, but they don't give speeches about it. And they think that will save them from being protested when they go back to their districts and give speeches or they go to college campuses. And I think what they learned last night is this. These protesters realized, hey, 90% of you are voting the same way as Republicans when it comes to Israel. So we've protested those Republicans. We need to turn our attention to you. But Logan, these protests now that we've seen from college campuses, we've seen in major cities, have now come right to the headquarters of the Democrat National Committee. That is the head of the Democrat National Committee is President Joe Biden.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think they know that they've lost for most Republicans. Republicans are always going to be supportive of Israel for the most part. There are some few holdouts, but for the most part, overwhelmingly, there's always been support for Israel within Republicans. They know that DNC are the weaker side in this because, look, like you said, a lot of the Democrats on the Hill, they want to be supportive of Israel, the actual people there, but they're scared. And now what's going to make them more scared is they just had an extreme violent breakout happen at their headquarters that lasted quite a while. And I think we even have footage of it. And maybe we'll play that when we come back in the next segment, really give you an idea. So make sure you stay tuned so you can see footage of this and you tell us what you think it feels like. Does it feel stronger than a lot of the things that have happened over the last few years? It feels pretty scary to watch when you see this, again, at the Democratic headquarters, not the Republicans. This is the Democratic headquarters. We're taking your calls also, 1-800-684-3110. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, remember, these headquarters are much more accessible than members of Congress offices, and they're on Capitol Hill, but they don't have the same kind of security apparatus as members of Congress do inside all the different congressional offices in the Capitol. And of course, you see it's dark, but now it's dark very early in the evening now. Again, this was not just a protest. This was an attempt to enter. That's what they were trying to do. And what were they going to do when they entered? Take hostages? Burn it down? Occupy it? I mean, the end game here, what was the point there? The point there is they want to intimidate congressional Democrats who we disagree with on lots of issues, but on the issue of Israel, about 90% of them agree with us. And we had one House Democrat who was president of the DNC told Axios, "It scared me more than January 6th. That is a Democrat.
Yep.
They've tried to impeach President Trump on January 6th. And they said what happened last night was scarier than January 6th. It was that much more out of control. We'll take your calls on this.
Yep.
Will this be the wake-up call Democrats need, especially House and congressional Democrats? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, we want people to jump in on our Faith and Freedom Drive.
That's right. We are fighting right now. Obviously, you saw last week to bring the hostages home. We're fighting for voting rights and for life. And our resources, they are spread very wide right now. We need your support. Go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled. We'll be right back, and you'll get to see some of that footage from the attack.
So headline after headline, this one, top House Democrats, and you may have seen the imagery. We could put the imagery up while I'm talking right now. Evacuated from DNC headquarters as police clashed with protesters last night, calling for a Gaza ceasefire. They used violent protests. This was not civil disobedience. They wanted to enter illegally the DNC to, I guess, occupy the DNC. There were people and staff inside. I mean, it wasn't an empty building at this point. A member of Congress, a Democrat, unnamed, said this was scarier than January 6th for them. Police officers were injured. So again, we're starting to see more and more after that great peaceful pro-Israel rally and march in Washington, D.C. just yesterday, Logan. You see how the other side responds. They respond with violence, and their new target is not us. It's the Democrats who, as I've heard from my many Democrat friends, there's that handful who go out there and defend Israel. There's the majority who support Israel by votes. And then there's the squad that votes against Israel. That middle of the road voter who doesn't want to do interviews about supporting Israel because they think they won't get as much negative attention. I think maybe last night that killed that for them. They realize now they know how you're voting. So they're going to see you as just much of an enemy as the ones who speak out for Israel if you're voting for Israel.
Well, they see them as an enemy and they see them as weak. They see them as someone maybe they could flip because they're scared.
Sure.
So I think that's true. I think they know for a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives, they're not flipping them on supporting Hamas. That's not happening. But when you have, look, five or six of the most loud Democrats on Capitol Hill not supporting Israel, getting censured, you know, all these things happening, they're the ones who get all the social media publicity. They're the ones who everyone knows their name. So maybe they think they could put the pressure on, but you also just see an excuse now. And I think that's what happened over the last few years. We've seen excuses now for violence in the streets. It's no longer unacceptable for these protests to get out of control. Now it's completely acceptable on both sides of it. It's acceptable, and the police has to figure out what to do with it, you know, how to do it without themselves getting themselves in trouble.
You know, we've got a lot going on at the ACLJ, both here domestically and abroad. We'll focus on Israel for a moment. So you know we brought those members of those Israeli hostage families to Washington, D.C. to meet with members of Congress, the bipartisan support there. We've also got filings that have gone on at the United Nations. Those are in for those families. We are representing right now, I think we're up to 30 or 40 families. We think by next week we'll be over 100 families that we're representing. Those are basically the non-military families, so the families who were not soldiers that were taken hostage, but lived under the kibbutz, trying to figure out if they are still alive at this point, and did they survive and still being held hostage. That is ongoing. Our team from both Europe and the United States is now working on the next step, which is going to Europe, both in Brussels at the European Union. The EU just voted to condemn Hamas as a terrorist organization. That is huge, though. Again, I mean, the EU and the Council of Europe have been very slow to condemn the Hamas. Now they are, and so we're going to be setting up, we have set up meetings in Brussels, Belgium, with our senior team is going to be there, our DC team. I know our dad's going to be there for some of that. I'll probably be there for some of that as well. Then in Paris as well, and in our headquarters in Strasbourg, France, which is also the headquarters of the Council of Europe. So basically, starting post-Thanksgiving, we've got like a 12-day strategy, what we've taken in the United States, that we're going to take to Western Europe to continue that pressure. That is done, Logan, because the ACLJ has the financial support of our donors, both those donors who donate regularly because we have matching challenge months, or like this month with the Faith and Freedom Drive, where every amount you donate is effectively doubled. But it's also, Logan, because of these new recurring donors that we are adding. You pick a number you're comfortable with. So maybe it's $50 or $150. And you say, I want that to automatically be deducted from my account each month as a donation to the ACLJ. And on the months that we're doing a Double Your Impact month, it will double. So that if you chose $150, that month it'll be like $300, but you're just charged $150. And these recurring donors, Logan, are giving us this new ability to plan into the future for like not just best case scenarios, but worst case scenarios. That's the, again, that's the international side. And I want you to talk about the importance of those donors. Then I want to flip to the domestic side, have the video ready from the Colorado courtroom as well. But talk about that again, these recurring donors, so important.
An ACLJ champion really, like you said, means someone who is dedicated to giving each and every month. And it automatically does it. And it really helps us out. Because what it does, instead of what the ACLJ has been built on, and there's nothing wrong with it, we appreciate everyone that does it, is people individually every month giving donations. as they see fit, as they feel like it's time or they feel moved to do so. And that's amazing. But what we want to do is create a baseline, a budget we know we have, we can rely on, for the most part, at least we can rely on, that there is such an overwhelming amount that even if people have to leave or come back, that there is a baseline where we always know what we can do, how we can create, how we can move forward, what other legal pursuits we can have, what other pursuits in media we can have. We're going to talk about one of those just coming up here in the next few segments, because it is important for the ACLJ to be involved in each and every aspect of really life as an American and life as a human on earth. Because to get our messages across, we have to break down the barriers. We have to break down the barriers of Washington, D.C. We got to break down the barriers of Hollywood. We got to have all of these new ways to reach people, whether you're watching right now on Rumble or whether you're still listening to us on radio. There may be multiple ways that people, we always want to have multiple ways for people to be able to get in touch with us and hear our content, see our messages, and impact culture in a way that really can't be done without ACLJ champions. It's a big day today. We are in the middle of our Faith and Freedom Drive. You know, we're really halfway exactly through our Faith and Freedom Drive for the month of November. Like you said, all donations are doubled. And just click that and become a champion. We appreciate that. But that is not just all. We have so much happening in our world. And whether that is what's happening in Israel or whether what's happening domestically.
Yeah, I mean, and I want to tell you, we added 60 new ACLJ champions yesterday. That's a big number. That's 60 people who said, I'm going to donate this amount every month. It's going to auto-donate. I don't even have to think about it. So, again, these numbers are growing. Do we have the total yet? I think you pull it. I mean, it's been pretty outstanding because we've only been pushing this for a short period of time. Now, before I get to the calls, I want to remind you, we are not just working on international issues. Remember, we are fighting all across the country and states across the country to protect your right to vote for the candidate of your choice in the Republican presidential primary. We've already seen wins in Oklahoma. We've already seen wins, I think, in Minnesota. Was it most recently Michigan as well? So we've seen another win there where we represented seven states. But we gave final argument, closing argument yesterday. Ben Sisney with the ACLJ, he's based out of our Washington, D.C. office. He gave a closing argument yesterday in the case in Colorado. It's the toughest case with the toughest judge. It's the one we see is has the potential to get to the next level, because even though we've said to this judge, look at what all the other courts have done. They've all said, this is not right. This is not our position. What you want to make sure at the district court level is you get all the right facts out and you're ready to go take it to the appeal. And if you have to, take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to. It's always about winning and losing at the district court. It's about getting the right information out. Ben did a great job. I want to take you in again. This is the state courtroom there, but this just shows you all the different kind of work that's going on at the ACLJ in one day. Here's Ben Sisney in Denver, Colorado, arguing for your right to vote for the candidate of your choice. Take a listen or watch.
This court's heard a lot. This court's been through a lot. So is the court staff. We also appreciate that. The petitioners and even the secretary, with due respect, have complicated things. I would like to bring the court back to the basics. More than anything else, this is a case about the law. This is a Section 113 proceeding, intentionally and expressly limited in scope by the Colorado legislature. The only relief available is for this court to order the secretary to comply with the election code, or substantially comply. This is also about Section 1204. We've heard some of that this afternoon. That contains a finite and enumerated list of shalls, ministerial duties with which the secretary must comply. She has no discretion with that list. The Colorado Election Code does not contemplate, actually it does not even allow, a discretionary role for the secretary in determining extra statutory qualifications in usurpation of the major political party's will. It includes no vesting of such authority. It gives her no budget for such a pursuit. It sets no guardrails. Her duty is the shalls.
And of course, again, that's Ben Sisney from the ACLJ. I just want you to know, when we have that opportunity, not all courtrooms allow it, to see us in court all across the country fighting for your rights. You see, that's not a jury trial. He's going right to the judge there. So you see, the tone is different. It's not such adversarial. You're not going to be a screaming match with the judge. You want to lay out for the judge, hey, judge, this is the right decision for you to make, and here's why, the information. Again, this is probably the toughest case. We're prepared for that. But what you want to do is get the right facts, because that's the part of the first case, is that's where the fact finding's done. And then when you get to the appeals level, the facts are done. Now you're arguing the finer points of the Constitution and law, and then ultimately at the Supreme Court, where you're making very quick oral arguments. And this is the one we see as the one that could potentially get there, because even if it's the only state that goes that way, it affects all these other states that are tossing these cases, because it makes your vote less important, less valuable if you vote for Donald Trump. Support the work of the ACLJ. Be part of our Faith and Freedom Drive and become a ACLJ champion today. Donate at ACLJ.org and click that champions box. Secular, we do want to take some of your phone calls, some coming in about what happened in Washington, D.C. last night. Of course, what's going on internationally. I think there was a big breakthrough yesterday when the imagery came out showing the Hamas tunnels underneath these hospitals. And no more could you say, I mean, the weapons were there, the guns, even above the hospital, not even below in the tunnels, but in hospital rooms, MRI rooms full of explosive devices and guns. So this whole idea that, Israel's targeting hospitals, these hospitals are hospitals in name only, and they are putting vulnerable people there, Hamas, as human shields who actually do need to be in hospitals to protect their militants. We are also going to show for the first time, finally, some of the video that is coming out of the attack, because these attackers were wearing GoPro. Now, I will tell you, this is not the most extreme video that you may have heard about. This is more edited, so it's not one that if you're going to watch, you're going to see horrendous, horrendous things. That does exist, but it has not been shown yet. But the IDF is slowly releasing this footage to see how these attackers did this. I do want to go to the phones, though, Logan, at 1-800-684-3110 and take a call.
Let's go to Fred in Tennessee on line two. Fred, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I got really two questions. One is, since the peaceful protesters got with the DNC, I was just wondering what you thought the Democrats, will they man up and stick with their guns, or will they capitulate like they normally do? And my second question is that since it was such a peaceful protest, how come the D.C. police didn't arrest the whole group and put them in jail?
Well, I think, in that situation, the police are outnumbered, and I'm sure there were arrests made, but the what you want to do is disperse as best you can, and then you handle arrests later. Remember, it's all on video. There's video cameras all over D.C., so you make those arrests later. If you can disperse the crowd and get things back to being safe, you don't want to necessarily spend your time on making arrests. First, they had to stop the building, the DNC headquarters, from being entered. I mean, they were trying to break into the building to cause destruction. They were able to do that. Six police were injured. I'm sure some protesters were arrested, but remember, it's on video, and their first job is to get to end this violent activity. The second job then is to track down who organized it, who was there, and I think, again, that's what the DNC, the police will be doing. I do think Fred, I think there's two things going on here. I think traditional Democrats who have been in Washington or have been voting Democrat for a long time, even if you're not a politician, you generally support Israel. I mean, it's just because it's been a U.S. ally, strong U.S. ally in the war on terror, and it's not been that partisan of an issue. But what we're seeing is that though the current Democrat Party in Congress right now still is about 90% there, the new group coming up is not there.
It's not there.
So is there going to be a Democrat Party 15 years ago that is, or 15 years from now, that is still 90% in support of Israel? Or are the Jared Moskowitzes and Dan Goldmans and Debbie Wasserman Schultz of the world going to be the minority inside the Democrat Party because they support Israel? That's why these moments of education showing how brutal these Hamas terrorists are, which we will later in the broadcast, is very important, because these people are protesting for terrorist groups. They don't even understand how violent and vicious they are. And I think it's just a disgraceful, but I think that's where the concern is, Logan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the next generation of Democrats is sadly going to be, you know, fairly into Israel. And I think we have to be careful that the next generation of Republicans are as well. There is sort of that isolationist kind of concept that becomes a bit more popular as time goes on. And not to say that there's not some valid points to some of that, but there are limits and there are friends and there are allies. And Israel is just about, you know, one of the biggest. So we have to make sure we're influencing people. And that is something I wanted to talk about right now.
Yep.
We are just a week away from launching our very first feature film. This is a non-documentary, a feature narrative film. And we decided as the ACLJ to produce a Christmas comedy. If you're watching right now, you see the poster behind me. And we deal with a lot of weighty subjects here, whether it's our legal fights for faith, our freedom, life, liberty, all of those things. But we also live in a strong culture right now that is highly influenced by media and by entertainment. And we know that, and you know that as well. You see what's, you know, getting in front of your kids' faces, your grandkids' faces, even your own. It can be an effective tool. We know this. It can be a very effective tool in defending and upholding the values that we hold dear, which is why we are launching something brand new. We are launching this full-length feature film. It's a heartwarming Christmas comedy called Jingle Smells. Yes, you heard that right. Jingle Smells. It is executive produced in partnership with us, me, and with Sean Hannity. And you heard it right. We got John Schneider. We have Eric Roberts. We got Ben Davies, you know, from Courageous and War Room. We have such a great cast, SNL favorites like Victoria Jackson and Jim Brewer. It's a family Christmas comedy, but it is really important. Not only does it poke fun and have a bit of a relief when it comes to commentary on cancel culture, on online hysteria, from issues that are important to us that are covered, like patriotism, religious liberty, freedom of speech, community service. But most importantly, we want to make sure this gets in front of people's eyeballs. We want to make sure you see it. And here's our goal. Our goal, to send the message to Hollywood that we're not going to take this anymore. We want Jingle Smells to be the number one Christmas movie this year. Imagine a world where the ACLJ and Sean Hannity produce the number one Christmas movie of the year. It can happen. And guess who we partnered with for our premiere? The number one free speech platform. That's right, Rumble. You can pre-order the movie right now. It's going to come out on Thanksgiving Day, but you can pre-order right now to send that message. This is what we think is important. The movie is great. I love this movie. I've seen it probably 100 times now, and I still love this movie. But you need to see it, and also you need to send that message to Hollywood. Again, it supports the work of the ACLJ as well. All you have to do is go to jinglesmells.movie. That's the domain. Jinglesmells.movie. Click the big pre-order button. Or if you're already on Rumble, just search for Jingle Smells. Or we need to make sure on the Rumble comment, Rumble descriptions, it's the first thing to pre-order now. And you can do it. And it's the cost of maybe one movie ticket to watch this movie as many times as you want. It premieres on Thanksgiving Day, but it's available, you know, forever after that. As long as you have a Rumble account, it's set up. Again, people maybe don't know, Rumble also has a way you can watch it on your TV with apps and everything. If you have a smart TV or smart device, you can get that. But we want to send a message to Hollywood here.
Yeah, and I think, again, the poster's behind you, Logan.
It is.
You go. Got people
blocking it.
Like John Schneider, Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, Jim Brewer. We got James Storm and Dylan Postle, who are professional wrestlers.
WWE World.
Academy Award nominee Eric Roberts in this movie. We all make little cameos in this movie. You're going to recognize a lot of the people from this broadcast. We do have a quick teaser trailer, right, that we can show?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Here is the teaser trailer. This is the trailer to Jingle Smells.
You know, it's very hard to find a place that even comes close to being worthy of your beauty.
It's romantic.
It's about you and me alone.
Wow, look at the two of you.
Merry Christmas, America. Hollywood has canceled Mason Stone.
Stone will be digitally replaced by AI.
Boycott Stone!
We will no longer be manufacturing Mason Stone characters.
Get them all out of here by Christmas Eve.
You gotta be kidding me.
How'd you get it? Oh, fell off the truck.
There was a truck involved.
The mysterious gift giver has struck again.
If you get busted with those toys, you're done.
And you made me an accessory.
Well, you know what they say. Some accessories are required.
Am I smiling?
No.
Jingle Smells, stinking all the way.
They call me Jingle Smells.
Yeah, I know.
Right now. Premiering on Rumble Thanksgiving Day, but you can pre-order right now. Go to jinglesmells.movie. Again, if you're on Rumble, just search for Jingle Smells. It's right there. Send that message to Hollywood. You know how much influence media can have on culture. And again, even with the situation in Israel, we know what could come. We need to all be there. Be supportive. So go to jinglesmells.movie to pre-order Now, we got a second half hour coming up. Join us on all your favorite social media platforms, YouTube and Rumble. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We have seen the attacks now on the Democrat National Committee headquarters in Washington, D.C., a violent attack by pro-Palestinian activists, militants. They were trying to storm the building. This is a statement from one of the protest organizers. This is Danny Noble. Take a listen to Bite 7.
The folks in that building tonight, the folks in Democratic leadership have not been listening to the 80% of us from our diverse communities that support a ceasefire and to stop this genocide of Palestinians. And instead of being met with leaders engaging with us, instead of being met, again, our peaceful protest, we were met by police.
But they weren't peaceful protests, Logan. They tried to storm the building. They didn't set up a meeting. I feel like most of these Democrats, if the people did come to them the right way, like we did before with the hostages and said, hostage families had said, we'd like to set up a meeting. They understand this important issue and there's people on both sides of it. And they want to, they are concerned for Palestinian civilians, that they would probably have those meetings, but they tried to storm. They're getting a taste of what we've had to deal with as Republicans, for many, many years, on various issues, because you've seen that kind of flash mob protest group ability that we don't really have on the right, that they do have on the left. Now it's turning on them. But what I think, again, what I hope it does is wake them up to say, you know what, we got to educate our young people that they should not be sitting out there promoting Hamas. Like, this is not right.
Well, this is sort of one of the big problems, and we brought this, I've heard this before. You said, like, we don't have the way to flash mob and get people to show up. That is because the right, honestly, has been pretty distant from embracing social media fully. You know, in a way that the left, and honestly, foreign influence on social media has done. You know, when foreign influence comes in on social media, you're getting this served on your TikTok feed, it's going to happen. Now, I'm not personally on TikTok, but I understand why maybe some of these politicians need to figure out a way to engage on all of these platforms to make sure that we're getting seen and we're getting heard. That's why we made the movie. That's why we're out here every day. It's why we're in Capitol Hill, because we want to make sure our message gets out there. You know, I had a flash mob situation happen just in our neighborhood where a house party happened, and somehow it spread virally. And all of a sudden, our neighborhood was filled with hundreds of teenagers within 20 minutes. That's what's happening here. So it's not just little protests that break out. It's these viral moments that happen, and violence can happen. And we need to make sure, though, that we are keeping our kids engaged and informed as well. You know, my concern is, you're right, they're getting most of what they're looking at on their phone, especially younger people. They're not listening to, you know, mainstream media or news or even podcasts, Rumble. They're getting everything from TikTok. They're getting everything from Instagram. We have to make sure we're there to counterbalance that as much as possible, because at this point, look what's happening.
Yeah. I want to take another call before we go into the break. Let's take one real quick. Let's go to Bill in Wyoming, online one. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Thanks for letting me talk to you. First of all, just let me tell you that I try and support you whenever I do by giving you whatever pennies I can spare for your
We appreciate topic. That. We appreciate your prayers, and signing petitions are important, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if you could see me, I would be using air quotes on this definition, but I find it quite ironic that this demonstration last night was at the DNC, because, dating myself, I remember the demonstration there at the DNC back in 1968. Is that quite ironic or what?
Well, listen, I think that the Democrats, they kind of get, and I'm not talking about all of them, but the radical elements of it, they kind of get everybody out on a ledge, and you start thinking, if you're a young person, well, every Democrat must be like this. And they see Joe Biden, and he's like strongly supporting Israel. And they see these other members like Schumer, and they see some of the House members. They say, wow, they're strongly supporting Israel. This is not what my college professor said leftists do. They said that they're all pro-Palestinian. They hate Israel. So what's going on here with the party that I've been elected and I've been supporting, I thought was the party of leftist radicalism? And then they actually end up turning on them. They're threatening not to vote for Democrats because of their support for Israel. Listen, we all have to do a lot of education on this issue. Republican side, we need it. Democrat side, we need it. Because we're losing in the isolationist side. they're losing in the anti-Semitism side. And so what we're going to do at the ACLJ is never give up. Support our work. Donate today, ACLJ.org. You know, as we said, we have done a lot of work in the United States for these Israeli hostage families, all the way from Capitol Hill bipartisan meetings. And now we are planning really that post-Thanksgiving time to go and take this to Brussels at the EU, Paris, if necessary, Strasbourg, where the Council of Europe is. This is all being planned by our team at the European Center for Law and Justice, our partners on this in Israel and other countries, as well as, the ACLJ and our DC team, government affairs team, spending about 10 to 12 days to, again, kind of take what we did in Washington and do it over and over and over again in different European major capitals of international organizations. So that is coming as well. Now, the hope is the hostages will be released before any of that is necessary. The latest reports have shown that if there is a hostage release, they're really talking about maybe something like 50 women and children being released for the same number of Palestinian women and children held in Israeli prisons. So we haven't seen any reports of like every hostage being released yet, but we do know that that is being worked on, and we pray, work hard every day, that that comes sooner rather than later, and maybe those meetings won't be necessary. But you've got to assume the meetings will be necessary. So that is our next step as we take these phone calls. So we are not done on this issue. In fact, what we started in Washington was just part one of our expertise. Now we've got our ECLJ team, our DC government affairs team, working on all of this throughout Western Europe. Logan, let's go to the phones, 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's continue on. Let's go to Barb, who's calling on Maryland from Maryland on line 5. Barb, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make some comments to piggyback on your two earlier callers. Seeing the news clips this morning about the pro-Palestinian protests last night, it was noteworthy that there were high-ranking Democrats in the DNC headquarters that were barricaded in there. I noticed that most of the protesters had masks on. I'm wondering, is that to hide their identity?
Yes.
I don't think it was over COVID. Also, there were 6 Capitol policemen and women who were injured. And I also heard a clip that one of the members of the DNC that was barricaded inside said he or she was more scared than on January 6th.
Yes.
My question is, and it's more or less rhetorical, you think the FBI will be kicking in their doors at 5:30 in the morning identifying these people?
You know, maybe, because they came after Democrats. I mean, I feel like horrible saying that, but yeah, similar to January 6th, they were coming after Democrats and the Democratic National Committee. And by the way, if they were, I'm sure those members of Congress did feel that way. These were not peaceful protesters committing civil disobedience by blocking the doors. They were trying to violently enter the building. And what were they going to do after that? Were they going to take them hostage? Were they going to hold the members of Congress hostage? I think, too, remember what they do is, first, you've got to disperse the situation. Second, after you disperse the situation, you want to, again, kind of secure everything. Get the members of Congress out, secure the building. Maybe you've made a few arrests, handle those who were injured. Now we know with the video technology, Logan, even with their mask, these people ultimately, a lot of times, can be identified, yeah, or you identify a few organizers, put pressure on them to
rat people out.
Right. But what I've said consistently is that when you see these pro-Israel peaceful marches, no one is covering their face because they aren't ashamed of what they're protesting for or marching for. These individuals who did this, they weren't there for a peaceful protest. They were there to commit a crime. So they covered their face, and they don't want you to know who they are because they are supporting terror organizations, Logan. So they do hide behind the keffiyehs.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those really very obvious tells, if you will, when you watch it, which is obviously these people are all trying to hide their faces. We saw this through protests over the last few years in general. when they're doing that, they're either, you know, they're trying to hide their identity because, like you said, they know that the impact on their future careers or lives. So maybe these are young people who know what social media looks like. But again, they're not out there marching. They're out there rioting and protesting and destroying and threatening. This is a very different thing than just being on the streets, like you said, in a pro-Israel march, or even a pro, even if you're pro-Palestinian, a more traditional pro-Palestinian march. This is violence that's happening on the streets. She talked about when the FBI is going to start showing up at their doors. Maybe not under this administration, but you know, you never know what the future can hold.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Let's see, who do we go to next?
I do have to tell you, this is just a fun little side story. And this is usually a Secular Brothers type thing. You talked about the FBI. I saw your son last night, who's a little guy, and he opened the door to our parents' house. He was over there, and I knocked on the door, and he opened up, and he went, "FBI, open up!" Which my son taught him. Just going to say, it's my son's fault, but I just thought it was the funniest thing. Because he goes, "FBI, open up!" So, all right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in California on line 3.
Hey, Kevin, welcome to Secular.
Hey, thank you. We have to change the narrative here. One country attacked another. Hamas did not attack Israel. Hamas is the voted in elected government of a United Nations recognized member state by 139 United Nations states. But we've let them take the narrative that Palestine didn't attack Israel. Gaza didn't attack Israel. Hamas did. That's like saying army attacked England, Navy attacked. We have fallen into, that's why, see those tunnels dug under the hospital, that was dug by Palestinians, not by Hamas. It was just like if our Marines dug a ditch, we don't say Marines. Oh, other countries are up. Marines did it. No, America did it. So the whole narrative changes. Right now, the narrative is this terrorist group, Hamas may be called a terrorist group, but they're the army. They're the government. So the narrative for the left is Hamas can be bad and ugly. However, you're attacking Palestinians and Gazanians or whatever you call them. See,
I think that, you know, Hamas came to power in one election in 2005. And listen, there are many Palestinians that you have seen them trying to flee. When they opened up that crossing with Egypt, many were leaving. They were not there to stay for the fight. Did they elect Hamas? It appears that they did. Did they know that Hamas would get them into massive wars with a country that could continue to flatten them and make their lives miserable? I'm not sure, but they didn't want what the Palestinian Authority offered, which seemed like a kind of a Mahmoud Abbas is worth billions of dollars and things haven't gotten better in the West Bank. So they didn't want that. They wanted something different and they wanted something maybe more religious. And then it turned into this terror group. But I see what you say. It's harder and harder to make the distinction between, well, is Hamas if they lead the Gaza Strip, the people that are under their leadership, are they terrorizing those people or are those people their supporters? And I think there's a mix. I don't think most of those women who are giving birth want to be used as human shields while they're giving birth to their children at that hospital where underneath the hospital is the Hamas weapons and headquarters. But they're being forced to stay there to make it more difficult for Israel to take out those Hamas leaders. They don't want to be there. That puts them in serious harm's way and their children in harm's way. So that's what makes it that much more difficult than kind of conventional warfare. They don't follow the rules of war. I mean, war is hell enough, and they don't even follow those war rules.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that time and time again now over the last month. You know, it's crazy that it's been over a month at this point that this has been going on, a pretty long war in the world of Israel. You know, you're not used to these kind of extended events happening. So it is a very sad time. It is a very somber time for Israel. But what I told you a couple days ago, which was I was just very thrilled to see the joyous celebration on Israel in the streets of Washington, D.C., I was looking at Instagram, following some celebrities that were there, your Patricia Heatons of the world who are out there, really out there loud supporting and laughing and having fun. And it shows kind of more of the Israel that we know, which is a very joyous, celebratory, kind of a landfill of history and of people celebrating and partying. And it is that vibe when you go there. Yep. It's a lot of happy people there because they are the only glimmer of hope, really, in the Middle East. So, when you have still hostage crisis in this, it's hard to forget that.
Take one more call before we go to the next break. Dee in Colorado on line 4. Hey, Dee.
Hi,
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just have one quick comment, and it's more to the younger generation, the college students, et cetera, in America. When you say you're promoting peace for Palestinians and you use the word Hamas, Hamas means violence. So if you're promoting Hamas, your actions are definitely showing who you're promoting violence.
Yeah, listen, we have to make it clear. We've got a lot of education to do. It's not going to be done in the heat of the moment, though. So this is going to have to end, and then we're going to have to take a sit back and say, these kids on college campuses, they've got to grow up and learn and be ashamed, kind of, that this is who they were supporting and protesting it. And I'll show you some imagery when we come back. And it's not extreme. There is that extreme imagery that is seen by others. We're not going to play it on the air here, but this is still shows you how the Hamas terrorists began their attack on Israel. If you're watching the broadcast, you'll be able to see it. There's enough blurred out where it's not too gross, so don't turn this off. Stay with us on Seculo. All right, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Will, do we have an answer yet to Anthony's call? So let's take Anthony, and then I want to show you this video that has been released by the IDF. It was a GoPro video from a Hamas terrorist who ultimately is killed on October 7th after killing many people, many Israelis. But I want to take Anthony's question first online, too. Hey, Anthony, call in from Pennsylvania.
Yes, I'm wondering how many other countries have hostages held, because I haven't really heard that and haven't heard anybody making demands, so not that Biden made much of a demand to get our hostages back.
25 different countries. Now, some of those include dual citizens of that country and Israel. Some are just that country or people who are living and working in Israel. So there's 25, and that does include, of course, a group of Americans. And that number, again, it kind of changes. It's never exact because you're dealing with a terrorist organization. Now, I want to go to what we've been talking about throughout the day. A lot of us have seen this imagery that these Hamas terrorist had GoPros on. I mean, they filmed themselves doing some of the most horrendous acts, the kids being thrown into the ovens, the children being ripped out of the wombs. They filmed all of that. Yeah. So some of us have seen that. But CNN, what they were able to do is to start putting out some of this imagery that can be seen on television that isn't so graphic that you've got to have like a special time to show it. I know on Capitol Hill they're showing it at special times because it is so graphic. People are getting sick from seeing it. But they did air this, and even CNN, it confirmed to them the brutality of how this attack began on October 7th. It's a 3-minute video by a GoPro. It is totally again narrated by both CNN and the terrorist. And you will see them as they cross over from Gaza into Israel and begin their killing spree. Let's watch it. Let's see how October 7th and that atrocity began.
An explosion.
Allahu Akbar!
Before dawn on October 7th. The time is here and the attack is underway.
Allahu Akbar!
Allahu Akbar! God is great, they chant. As they cross the breached fence. Go right, they say. Less than 2 minutes later, they cross the second security fence. They are in Israel, heading towards a kibbutz. The sun is up, and a day that will reshape the region has begun. This video comes from the body cam of one of the terrorists who took part in the attack. It was obtained exclusively by CNN from the Israel Defense Forces. For the first time, we also see video inside Hamas tunnels before the attack. It is a look into a network of tunnels with what appear to be supplies stored in the darkness. Writing on the walls in Arabic says, "What's hidden is far worse." Above ground, the gunman fires his first shots. Go on, man, he screams. They stop on the way. More than a dozen militants gather here to prepare for the next assault. One has several rocket-propelled grenades on his back. Minutes later, a group advances across an open field, moving towards the village of Kisufim. The gunman charges the last bit and spots an Israeli soldier on the ground. Others join in celebration. Moments later, he is more composed as he turns the camera on himself. He says his name and that he's 24 years old. He's a father. He says he killed two Israeli soldiers. He asks God for victory and well-deserved martyrdom. On motorbikes now, they keep advancing, moving together along empty Israeli roads, or nearly empty. The man cheers as he sees bodies on the road. His is not the first wave. He rounds a corner. Here, we have seen this place before, among the first videos to come out after the attack. This is dashcam video from a car on the same road moments earlier. The car approaches a group of militants who open fire. The car coasts, its driver almost certainly dead by now. It is just after 7:40 in the morning. After a quick reload, the group approaches a military base near the kibbutz of Re'im. For 65 minutes since crossing the Gaza fence, they have had nearly free rein in Israel. The gunman closes the distance with a weapon he took from an Israeli soldier, opening fire. And fire comes back. This man's part of the attack comes to an end. The terror is just beginning. Oren Lieberman, CNN, in Tel Aviv.
So you can see now from that video just how one individual did.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta,
the amount of people killed.
You got to give a little bit of credit here to CNN, by the way. That was an incredible piece. But yeah, that the brutality of that is just horrifying. That definitely made it feel real.
That's what they can show you on TV. They have video that is beheadings. They have the video of people being burned alive. They have the videos of the babies being put in up. They have all of it.
Yeah.
Because these guys put it on GoPro and were shouting Allah Akbar while they were doing it. But I think they wanted to show this one to see how just this one individual for more than an hour had free reign to kill in Israel until ultimately an IDF soldier was able to take him down. That was just, again, one individual who killed so many. Yep. They took over the roads as well. So this is why I get, Logan, during our Faith and Freedom Drive, and if we fight to bring home hostages, and we're not just fighting here in the United States, but of course that's very important, and we've taken them here to the United States and in Congress. Now we're planning Europe, where it's Brussels, Paris, Strasbourg, where we've got our European Center for Law and Justice, to take this to different international organizations to make sure if these hostages have not yet been released, the pressure continues to, one, you hope that the pressure continues to keep them alive. And ultimately, the pressure continues to see them released. Because as we said, I mean, there's hostages from over 25 different countries. Many of those countries are those European countries. They want to see their nationals home released from Hamas as well, whether they're dual citizens or not. So we are asking people during this month, the Faith and Freedom Drive, to join with us, to make that tax-deductible donation. Your donation will be a doubled dollar for dollar, matched dollar for dollar through the ACLJ's Faith and Freedom Drive today. And then, Logan, what has been so great, and we've seen this just expanding since our 14th Amendment work and the ballot work, we showed that in Colorado, what we're doing domestically, what we're working on in Congress, what we're working on in Israel. Again, tomorrow we're filing a brief, amicus brief in the Iowa Supreme Court defending a critical heartbeat bill for life. Is our ACLJ champions. Just tell people, we have added a number of ACLJ. These are people who have said, this is an amount I want to make monthly, so it's going to be a recurring donation. I don't have to think about it. I'm comfortable with this amount. It'll be automatically donated from my account. And during those matching months, like this month, it will be doubled.
That's right. And thousands of you have done it. We hope thousands of you more, you know, maybe millions more, will do this one day. Become an ACLJ champion. Right now, go to ACLJ.org. We are in the middle of that faith and freedom drive. All your donations are doubled, which we appreciate. So if you give $20 right now, it becomes $40 really quick, immediately, and unlocks that. But you go to ACLJ.org, you can become an ACLJ champion, again, with that recurring support. Also, pre-order Jingle Smells, our new family comedy, coming on Thanksgiving, jinglesmells.movie.